Hello everyone, welcome to Mushtar FM 89.6. I'm your super serious host, Bera. Today we are in the studio for our Word Politics show and we will discuss about difficulties of teaching. You will understand why I choose this topic. Today we are very crowded in the studio and we have teacher all around the world. I can't wait to introduce them to you. So, let's start. I will start from my right side. We have Carmen in the studio. Welcome, Carmen.
Thank you. I'm Carmen. I'm a teacher in Spain from Almeria in the south. I coordinate the Erasmus project in my school. It's a secondary school.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And the other side, we have Alexia.
Hello everyone, you already heard me sometimes. My name is Alexia, I'm a French teacher in Apatzai Primary School in Nyíregyháza.
Welcome back, Alexia.
Thanks.
And we have Bea. Welcome, Bea.
Hello everybody, I'm also a teacher, a German-English teacher in Nyíregyházi Apatzai Cseré János Primary School.
And we have Maribel.
Hello everybody, I am a Spanish teacher. As my partner, I am from Almeria and we are here in a shadowing in the primary school with Bea.
Thank you. And we have Chris, as usual. Chris, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So maybe you don't know this fact about me still, but I have a pedagogical degree and I'm a history teacher, but I have never worked as a history teacher at school except my practice. So I did 1 month, 2 months of practice in a school and I was teaching sixth grade, I think so. Yeah. They were from sixth grade. But currently, I do have classes and I explain Russian language to Hungarian students. They are from 11th and 12th grade. And also I have one student from the University of Debrecen. He studied to be translator and his second language is Russian. So, and I'm really proud of his achievements because it's really interesting to see how foreigner person learn your mother tongue, which is super difficult, I think so.
Okay, thank you for introducing. Welcome again. So this topic is a bit different for me because for me, teaching something is in a formal way very hard. I usually go with non-formal way to teach or learn, and I also learn in that way. But I'm curious about your experience. So thank you for coming here. First, I wanted to start with how you start teaching and why. Why you choose this way? Because it's very hard.
First of all, it was not her objective to be teacher. But then there are things in the life that brings you on this way.
Esa casualidad o esa... Si casualidad me llevó a estudiar educación infantil.
This opportunity brings her to teach in kindergarten education. And then she studied children psychology.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you teaching?
26 years.
So it's a long time.
And after she started to work, but in a secondary school. It was an opportunity to be in secondary school and now she's very happy to teach in secondary school because finally this opportunity brings her where she feels more happy and able to progress.
Yeah, I was about to ask which age group you prefer, but now I got my answer. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And what about you, Alexia?
First of all, before starting my studies, I wanted to be speech teacher and to correct, the little problem you can have in pronunciation or also in writing or things like that. First of all, I wanted to be to do this. Let's say speech specialist. Before studying, I wanted to be a speech therapist, but then, as it's a school and you have to you have to pass some competition, and I'm not good in it, so I decided to do a normal license, 3 years in science of languages, linguistics, basically, and then after the 3 years, I hesitate between doing a master degree in teaching and education, or just in teaching French as a foreign language. I chose the first one, teaching and education, because first I thought I wanted to be a primary school teacher, but then I discovered that I missed a lot linguistics in this job. And so I thought, well, maybe it can combine two things I love, traveling and teaching. It's perfect. So then I discovered the work on site.
I just want to add, like, it's a huge lie that you're not good with competition. And what about you?
Okay, me. I am a history teacher, but when I studied in the university, I studied history, and I will be a teacher because I didn't like it. I like history, and I like to be a historian, because I like to write and to read, but in Spain, at least, no money being a historian, unless you work in the university, as a teacher in the university. So I did some work, some jobs in the university. I write things. I did my doctoral thesis, and then I started to work as a teacher. At the beginning, it was very hard for me because I didn't like it. I never thought I will be a teacher, but now I think it's a very good job. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. And what about you?
I come from a family whose members are teachers. Even my grandparents and grandparents were also teachers. So actually, I had no choice except being a teacher. It was my mother who told me when I was a little girl that it's a good job to be a teacher, so you should be a teacher. And I believe my mother that, okay, it should be must be a good idea being a teacher. And in this town, there weren't many possibilities to study other things. So there was a high school for teachers, and that's why I enrolled into this. Actually, it isn't a high school. There is a difference between university, college. It was called Teacher Training College several years before. And first I chose because I liked traveling, foreigners, and that's why I chose German language. And I had great success in studying this language, and also my family had contacts with German families, so I could even practice it. I spent 1 month when I was 17 years old in Germany, and I visited the school there. After that, I thought that it's not enough, and I started to work. Besides working, I started English as a other subject at the teacher training college. And I can clearly remember when I started teaching, there were a lot of students with behavioral problems. So I was so sad, astonished, and a bit disappointed about it, that I want to deliver my knowledge to students, but there is audience for my knowledge. And that's why I changed my job. I worked at an office, but after that, started again teaching. There are still behavioral problems, but maybe I am experienced enough to solve them.
I think my story a little bit similar to Maribel's story. I also liked history, and I haven't thought about being a teacher. But then when I got into the university, I realized, like, it's not that kind of history that I was in love with while I was studying at school. So you have dived deep down into the history, and sometimes it's not that interesting, funny, and stuff like this. You have to be really patient about history, and I wasn't. So, and also I realized, like, I don't want to be a teacher in a regular school, in a government school, let's say. Yeah, in Russia we have some private schools and public schools, but mainly public schools. Private schools, they are super rare, unique, I would say. And I realized, like, I don't want to be a teacher in a public school because history, it's a subject that's, like, really influenced by politic of your current government. So, and nowadays I completely disagree with the main thesis that our government translating to new generation, to young generation. And I realized, like, I don't want to lie about history of my own country. They don't want to translate these false values that current government promoting. So that's the reason why I don't work in a public school in Russia. But instead of this, I was teaching faster reading. So it's a kind of system of knowledge that allows you to study better, to remember better, to read faster. So, and this was my passion, because me personally, I was a client of the school where afterwards I was working. So, and it was my hobby that had become my work, my job. So, and I was teaching for 4 years. I was working with different ages. So from 4 years old, I was explaining to small kids how to read, and to adults how to read fast, how to remember better, how to improve their memory, concentration of attention, and stuff like that. So that's my career of being teacher.
Thank you. Well, all of you, I think, start the point with you don't like teaching, but then it became long-term work for you. So, as you said, like, you don't like to be teacher, like, clear word. And you said there is many problem with behavior and other stuff. But I want to learn more about, like, what was the biggest challenges for you as a teacher, or like, or what is the hardest part to teaching?
I can start. For me, most difficult thing was to be confident with what I teach. And it was difficult for me to feel legitimate. So I did my best also to work on it. And now I feel confident in my classes, and I feel like I'm at home, kind of. And I think that's also very important, because if you feel at home, the students also can feel at home. And if they are comfortable, if they feel comfortable, it's easier for them to confess, to learn faster too, I think, in my point of view.
You always teach the same class, or you have different students, and do you feel same familiarity when you teach different students?
I teach from first grade to fifth grade this year, but I already taught the 3 years in high school before the graduation. And I feel closer to the little ones, but I think that it's normal, because they try to find something like maternity in yourself, in you. But then with the 3 years of before graduation, it was more into a shared knowledge, because me, it was in Vietnam, I didn't know anything about their culture, and they wanted to discover mine. So it was an exchange, completely an exchange. Also, it's very different case than when you teach in your own language to the students that have the same language as you.
I think for me the most difficult part was my realization that in exact moment where I was trying to teach kids and to pass them my knowledge, how to do it. I'm talking about my time when I was working as a fast reading teacher. So that's a kind of complicated system. We had to do a lot of exercises, and it's not easy to pick up. But not all the time kids come to you in a good mood and ready to study. It took me really long time to understand that not in the every moment I have to teach them something. Sometimes they don't need my knowledge. They don't need to be taught. They just need to be loved. They need to be accepted by me with all their problems. Sometimes kids come to your class just for sit there and for have your attention, for like be accepted by you as a teacher, and do not do anything related to knowledges, to program, to something else. They just need you as a person who can hold them with all their emotions, feelings, and problems, etc. Sometimes you don't have to be a teacher, you just have to be a person, comprehensive person.
This is the time you work in a private place, right? Okay, because in public school, I don't know about other countries, but you have to follow your topic, no?
In a private school, you paid by parents of this kid who after the class will ask you what kind of knowledge did you get, and it's maybe even more complicated to convince yourself that now you don't have to do anything, just speak with this child, just I don't know, do something up to him, not up to your plan. Yeah, and in a public school, I think it's even harder because you have a lot of students at the same time and you cannot work personal with each of them, but still they are the same students, and you have to be just a person at the first place, and then you have to be a teacher, because this thing when you follow teaching path doesn't lead you to results, because if you're rejecting their feelings, their tiredness, their happiness, their problems, you're not gonna pass any knowledges. First you have to be a comprehensive person, and then when they understand that they can trust you, you are with them in any situation, then you can pass your knowledges.
Okay, thank you. And what about you?
For me, the most difficult of being a teacher, well, I love to be in the classroom with my students, no? But at the beginning, I think it happens all of us. The lack of self-confidence, it was difficult for me because, well, as I said before, I've never thought about being a teacher. So when my first classes were very difficult. But now I love to be with them in the classroom because, well, I think that, not with all of them, but... No, but for me nowadays, at least in Spain, is the bureaucracy. The teacher we have to do a lot of paper, to fill in a lot of things, a lot of meeting with the teachers, with parents. It is the worst for me not to be in my classroom or prepare the activities with the student. It's not for me. It's okay. I feel good with this thing. I love it now. But the bureaucracy is the worst. In Spain, there are a lot of bureaucracy for teacher. You spend most of your time filling papers, meeting with your partner, with the parents, with another teacher. It's the worst.
And both of you is a teacher in public school?
Yes, in public school.
Yo estoy de acuerdo con mi compañera de en España la carga burocrática es muy, muy importante y asfixiante.
I agree with my colleague that the bureaucracy is kind of the worst thing. But I think there is a big problem, at least in Spain, at least in public school, but maybe also in private school. Problem is probably the lack of authority from the teacher, but also the place that parents or the society give to the teachers or doesn't give to the teacher. The importance of the teacher. It looks like the word what the parents says have more importance than what the teacher said, while the teachers are professional in education.
I also agree with Carmen, but my most or the biggest challenge for me was that in Hungary, teachers have a very strict curriculum and they have to stick to the curriculum. And I prefer place-based learning methods, interdisciplinary learning, and leaving the boundaries of a traditional classroom. And in Hungary, teachers prefer frontal teaching. Although we are in the 21st century, but they always still prefer frontal teaching. And the problem is that children and young people are so overloaded with the media, social media, internet, and those vibes that a traditional frontal teaching isn't motivating for them. But on the other side, if you prefer alternative teaching methods, then you have problem with the discipline. because they think that then they can do everything, they can stand up, then they start to sing, then they start to dance, and and so on. So this is the biggest challenge for me, to handle these behavior problems while using alternative methods and considering that you have to stick to a curriculum.
Actually, I made an interview with students in Hungary, also in Nyíregyháza, and the thing they mentioned also was about curriculum, because they said there is a problem about freedom. So government or, I don't know, head of the education, they don't let the teacher choose what they will teach. So it's all centralized. So it's kind of a problem because not each place has same level, villages has different level, cities has different level, but at some point they have to follow same thing, and it can be hard, which it's hard for students for sure. So since all of you from, almost all of you from different countries, and you're teaching in different education system, if you could change something in your system, in your education system, the thing you see it's not good or work, what it would be? It's a huge question, I know.
It's a very, yes, good question. Well, I will change a lot of things, but I don't know, because one of the problems we have in Spain, in education in Spain, is the lack of interest. Our students, they don't like study, they don't interested in anything. So I think, well, sometimes they don't know, you don't know how to read. Know how to read, they read, but they don't understand what they are reading. They are not able to answer some question about something, or to make a summary about something they have read before. I don't know. I don't know what is the problem. They don't have any interest in the studies. They are always thinking in other things, and they usually memorize the subject, and then they do the exam and they forget.
So I think it's everywhere like this.
It's the big problem we have now, and we sometimes the teachers speak about this, about the thing that may change, but we don't know.
Yeah, I think it has connection between what Bea said before, like how much they use social media, and lack of attention can come from that.
Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. so.
And also they learn many things, I guess, but mm-hmm. they learn in different way. They learn from social media, they learn from other platforms, but this traditional method is not working anymore, probably.
No. Mm-hmm. I will try to translate. At least in Spain, I think it's also the same in France, the government or the Ministry of Education is just based on politics. It's only politic people who manage that. And maybe it could have been better if it's teachers, real teachers that are in front of the students, who can do this normatives or do this curriculum, these programs. It could have been better if it is professional in education and not just politics.
I think I would have changed things. Already Maribel said about the bureaucracy and the amount of papers that teachers have to write. It's incredible in Russia. Also, teachers do everything, but not their preparation to classes and not their work in class. So I would like to change this and make it more practically orientated, let's say. Just refuse all paperwork and concentrate on kids, concentrate on the subject. And I think that can help our education, but I don't know what exactly can help to our education, because it's super complicated. This system has to be fixed in too many ways.
I agree with you.
Me, I think that all children and all the students are curious, but sometimes they need more time to be curious in something, and maybe at some age they will not be curious about mathematics, but then it's gonna arrive because they need mathematics in their lives. So I think also if the program could have been, if it could be like a menu in a restaurant, you can choose, so I want to learn more about this and about this, it could be even weekly. I mean, for teachers it's impossible to do that, but in an ideal world it could be great that the children choose what to learn, because I don't think the teachers are the problem or the methods are the problem. I don't think the children are the problem neither, but I think it's just how we see the transmission of a knowledge. We think adults can transmit all the knowledge, but that's false. The only thing we can give to them is our experience. I don't think thanks to us, they can't learn thanks to us, but thanks to them, to themselves. And so they need, we can give knowledge, but then it's up to them what to do with it. And also maybe it's a little bit feeling like a queen or like a king to think that everything we give them, they will learn and they will just give back on an evaluation or something. So for me, it has to be at the rhythm of the children. Like I think, for example, me, I was very bad in science and now I'm interested in, so I will do my research by myself or by following people on Instagram.
Yeah, but do you think it's same for all age group? Like even in first grade, they must choose what they want to learn?
Yeah, I think it's in an ideal world, you know. So I think in first grade, they are able to choose what they want to learn. But it's in an ideal world. I mean, saying that, it's like erase the work of teacher, you know.
Yeah, I think it will change many, many things, not only for teacher. Like
yeah, this. Of course. But maybe it's very utopic.
Yeah, maybe we will see one. And what about you?
I totally agree with Alexia that I would change would be curricula, because in Hungary there is a huge amount of lexical knowledge which students have to learn week by week or day by day, and they totally forget it the other week or the other day. So it makes no sense to gain so much lexical knowledge. We should focus on main points in history, in literature, in maths. And an important thing is that in this century we had to transfer practical knowledges, because that is also a problem that students don't see any point in learning, because they say, especially upper graders in our elementary school, that I will not use it. Why should I learn it? So if you transfer the knowledge from a practical view, then they will be more motivated, I suppose. And I also observe that year by year, when we go higher and higher in their education, they lose more and more motivation. And when they arrive the 8th class, when they will be 8th graders, they are totally unmotivated in learning, because they are fed up with the lexical knowledge they have to learn.
Thank you. In Hungary, I think curriculum is a huge problem, but what about the other countries? Like you have this kind of strict and huge curriculum that you have to follow, and it's not possible to follow for kids.
The curriculum is huge, and almost the students have a lot of subjects, but each teacher is more or less free in their class to teach. Well, you have to follow the curriculum, but if, for example, you don't finish, the book or the curriculum in a year, it doesn't matter. It's not important. So in that sense, we are a bit free, although you have to teach what the law, the system said. You have to teach this part of, in the case of the history, in the first level or in the second level. But you can make some changes if you like. You can. Mm-hmm. It's not that strict in this sense. Mm-hmm.
In France, I will bring maybe just the primary school view of the program. We have to follow very strictly the program, because then the children will go in an upper grade and the next teacher will say, oh, but they learned nothing, they didn't finish the program, so now I need to take back the late they have. They are late in math, for example. So as they are late in math, I will teach math from last year, but also I need to teach math from this year program. And so I will be late. And then the next teacher will say, oh, but we are late, blah, 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 on the program. So the thing is, then it's your responsibility. You have to follow the program, even if it's just putting thing in the head of the children, because they need it for the next grade. And in the next grade, they have to know it. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit sad. That's why also, I come back to the last question, that's why also I think thinking about a program year by year. So when you are 8 years old, you have to know that. When you are 12 years old, you have to know that. For me, it's not efficient, because, as I said, there are children that are maybe 6 years old in their body, but in their head, yeah. They are not 6 years old and they are not ready to be in primary school. They still want to play like in kindergarten. So,
from my personal point of view, because I have never worked in a public school, I think history, it's a little bit easy to catch the program. Yeah, we have the program, we have to follow it, but here we have a space for creation, let's say, because you don't have to explain the whole medieval period, let's say. You can explain some important bullets from this medieval period and then start to explain another period of history, and the kid doesn't need to know the whole medieval period with, I don't know, the whole details and dates and stuff like that. So here you can go around some things. It doesn't work like, for example, math. If you don't explain this topic in math, you cannot go to another one because it's based on the previous. In history, yes, it's same, it's like that. A previous topic is important to understand the new one, but also it's not that important as in math, because you can explain some important points from the previous topic and then jump to the new one. So and base the new one on this important points. Okay, that kind of subject as a literature, language, history, they're kind of, I cannot say easy, but easier than others to feed them to the curriculum.
Carmen said that a few years ago, it was when you have 6 years old, you will learn how to read and how to count and everything like this. But nowadays, when you have 3 years old, sometimes you know how to read. And so the pressure, the social pressure is going lower and lower and lower. Now we wait for the children with 6 years old to know already how to read, how to count. But a few years ago, it was when you have 6 years old that you will learn it. And so due to this social pressure, they have more difficulty to learn quicker or to learn at their own rhythm, the different things, different topics.
That's interesting situation. That's similar to Russian situation in education. So since I was working in this sphere of non-formal education, we were helping kids to prepare themselves for school. And the main question from parents was like, back then when the parents were studying at school, they arrived to the first grade with zero knowledge about the world, about how to write, how to count, how to read. They didn't have to know anything about this because school was created for this purpose. So you go to school and they teach you how to count, learn, whatever. So nowadays, before to go to the first grade, kid supposed to know how to read, how to write, how to count. And the question is, why, if you expected from my kid that he supposed to count, write and read at the first grade, why I should give him to the school, to your, and in the school, what you supposed to do with him? What would you do with him? Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to teach him? Like, I don't know, physics from the first grade? And also, it was a huge disconnection, let's say, in the system of education in Russia. In the kindergarten, in my time when I was in kindergarten, they work on our knowledges and they taught us how to read. And in the first grade, we arrived with like same knowledges. Some of us knew how to read, some of them learned at the first grade. So it wasn't a problem. Nowadays, Minister of Education said to kindergartens, like, you don't have right and knowledges to teach kids how to read because it's a specific system of knowledge. You don't have a, just play with them, let's say. So, and schools, they officially ask from the whole students of the first grade that they supposed to know how to read, count and write. So, and here's a gap where parent supposed to teach their own child how to read, count and write, but parent doesn't have specific knowledges. He's not a teacher, he's not a professional in this. And then we receive the situation when kids struggle with reading, struggle with writing, and I think all of them, they go to speech therapist. All of them, they trying to fix the process, how exactly they write, how exactly they read, because it's really difficult. It's a cognitive pressure and it's a cognitive, a really hard cognitive process to learn all these things. And when you ask him from 7 years old kid that he's supposed to know everything before to go to school, that's kind of crazy thing.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think about something that I learned when I was in master degree. I had a very good professor and he didn't teach us, but he just asked us about things. And he asked us like what to do if you have, so you have your program to follow. Let's say at the end of the second year of kindergarten, the children doesn't know how to read, but he knows all the letters in the alphabet, let's say, okay? And he said, like, how do you do if you have a second year of kindergarten in your school and he already know how to read? Do you continue with him to know how to read and continue letting him reading, but then the other part of the class, you let them still progressing, or you just calm him down, or you just slow him to have the same level at the end as the others, you know? So it's a difficult question because when you are in the class, you are the teacher and you have to manage 30 little human. Maybe half of them are learning very quickly, the other half are more slow, take the time, and so how to do? So it was just a question. It's for our listeners. If you have any idea,
text us. Okay, I wanted to go and talk about more examination system, but I think we can pass that. But I wanted to learn the most important value as a teacher. What do you think? Like what you must to have as a teacher to teach?
I'm convinced that personality is the most important feature in a teacher, and especially in the primary sector. You mustn't be so educated or so professional, but mainly have a positive personality for children, because if they accept you and your personality, you can find the right way between being their friend and an educator. then you can achieve great success with them. And vice versa, if you have a professional knowledge of a subject, but you have a negative personality, it's no matter how professional you transfer your knowledge, the children won't like you, won't be motivated to learn your subject.
Carmen said that the main characteristic of teacher might be motivation. You have to be motivated to motivate also your students. And she said that she had a conversation with Maribel about the new teachers. Maybe they are less motivated. They have less a lack of motivation. But sometimes the thing is not, the motivation is not something that you learn. It's not a knowledge. It's something from you. Also,
I think I would say love. You're supposed to be human orientated first, because without this, it won't have any success. And also, I would say knowledges of psychology, because I've seen a lot of person who just transmit their own traumas, childhood traumas, and I also was traumatized by a lot of teachers. And I think these basic knowledges of psychology, of age psychology, because different age has different moments and specific moments that you have to know to be a good teacher. So must know, must have.
Mm-hmm. And also I agree with the don't hate human part if you become a teacher, yeah. And you have something?
Well, I think I can agree with my partner, with Carmen, because I think that the main characteristic of a good teacher must be that you love teach. Of course, be a good person, but it's important you love what you do. And to be stay with your student and share things with them. Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a lot about benevolence, like kindness with the children, because I think if you are not kind people with also compassion, reading emotions and everything, I think it's too difficult to work with citizens of the future. You know, you have to keep it in mind that who you are teaching are the next generation citizens, and that's the next world.
That's
world.
Your future.
That's our future, true.
Okay, I have not last question, but it's something I'm curious, because for me, the most important thing is to see students equal with you, but at some point, you're teaching something, so you're giving something. But do you think it's only one side thing? Like you can't be equal with students, or you must be and feel equal with students. What do you think about that?
It's a really hard question, but I think I would express my little bit classical point of view. I think the teacher is supposed to be ahead of the class and supposed to be higher than the students in a sense of knowledges, authority, and self-confidence. If I'm not self-confident, I cannot catch their attention and implement any methods to pass them knowledges. But it doesn't mean I have to be autocratic with them. I just have to be the person who they can refer to if they need help. Because if I feel I'm equal, I mean, from student point of view, if students feel like he's equal with the teacher, it can create the situation that he doesn't have respect to teacher. Or if he feels like he's equal, he might go and ask for help to other person who can give him wrong help, let's say. And I think in this situation it's better to be not an idol, but let's say safe space for your students where they can come and receive their knowledges, help, whatever. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a distance.
More or less I agree with you. I think that you have to to find the point between to be the authority in the class, the person who teach them, be near the student, because they need to think you are near them, you can help them when they need you, but you are, they must be respected with you. I don't know. You are the authority. You are not the same level, but so you have to find the point, no? Between one thing and another.
Maybe it sounds interesting, but it depends also on the student's emotional intelligence, how equal the students can be to the teachers. If they have the right emotional intelligence, that they won't get over the boundaries. If they don't have that, then they will go over these boundaries. But on a long term, it isn't good if a child or a student learns also from the reason that he has fear from the teacher. So on a long term, it's better to be almost on the same level or extent to the student.
Me, maybe. I think more like Bea. For me, we, as a teacher, we are human and our students are also human. So when we talk about they have to respect us, of course, because they have to respect also their peers. They also have to respect anybody in their world. So for me, we don't have to be more respected than them. We have to have the same respect. Of course, at their age, usually they need authority to know how to respect the rules. Because they have to respect only the rules in the class, but they have to know to learn. They have to learn how to respect the rules, because then there are laws. They have to respect the laws. Then why there is law? It's for the world to be better and better between each other. So for me, it's important to have the authority for that, for the rules, and to be clear with the rules. Even maybe sometimes they know, we just need to remind them the rule. We don't need to yell at them like, no, you don't have to do that. You are not respecting me. No, you have to follow the rules. Because if everybody stop following the rules, it's going to be a mess. And nobody wants that. Everybody wants to grow in love and respect. So I know it's very utopic, maybe. But I hope to share this with my students, that, okay, we respect everybody in the class, everybody out of the class, everybody in the world. So to be respectful, we need to follow the rules. To live our freedom, we need rules. I said a lot, the word rules.
It's more about discipline than, I guess, right?
Yes, but without thinking that we are better than them. Because the only thing we have different from our students, well, the knowledge, okay, but most of all, the experience. It's because of our experience in life that we react in some way.
So we didn't explain why you're here. I want you to explain this. You came here with an exchange, foreign exchange, right? And can you introduce this youth exchange more?
It's not between students. It's just like the teacher, tell me if I'm wrong, the teacher can go and sightsee how it works in the different schools. Before doing exchanges, or just to learn. It's learning by teaching, teaching by learning.
So actually it's an Erasmus Plus program, and it has different programs. And one of its programs is job shadowing, which is for teachers to discover education and experiences, educational experiences in other countries.
I'm very impressed about that, because we learned a lot in the school, but about social ability, about interculturality and connect with others, it was very, very bad in my school. And I know not everyone have this opportunity, like this kind of thing in the world. So it's very nice that you're doing it. And I
want to learn your point of view or what you observe from here? How do you find Nirekaza?
Well, it's a good experience. We are all discovering different things, different form of teach in a country. It's only that it's a primary school. We have seen children from first and second level or until fourth level. We teach in Spain in a secondary school. Our students are older than the student we have seen in this school. But well, it has been a good experience. We have take notes about something we like for putting practice in our school or for the decorating, for the form of the classes.
Carmen said that the objective of this meeting also is to see which techniques you use to teach in primary school and then to implement in secondary school, because the techniques can be quite similar. In secondary school, you don't have the same formation, the same pedagogy approach than in primary school. So it's nice to do the connection between these two worlds.
So we got into connection because we also started working on a water sustainability project. Mm-hmm. And yep. Carmen and Maribel's project was also about water sustainability and the sea, and this was the common point when we started working together.
And in your school, this kind of project is government supported, or you choose to do that? It's up to teachers, or you have to do it?
No, definitely not. We don't have to do it. I would like, because, and another important thought from me is that school is not only a place for giving knowledge, lexical knowledge, is also giving practical skills. And these practical skills can be given in another country with another students with different cultural backgrounds. And if you would like to raise European citizens for the future in whole Europe, also in Hungary, you should have partnerships in Europe. So if you are a real teacher, you have the motivation to find those ways to make such programs like Erasmus Plus.
Yes, in Spain it's the same. We do it because we think, like Bea, that the student is very good for our student to know any country, to be friends in different schools. So it's we do it because we like it for our student, but it's not necessary to do it. Nobody say you have to do it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a kind of extra job for you also,
yes,
like extra work.
United in diversity, you know.
Yeah, but we're grateful that you did it and you came here to our studio. And thank you for joining. It was very nice to hear about your idea about teaching and everything. It was very nice. And hope to see you in Nirekaza again. So thank you for listening. See you in another show.
Thank you very much, Bera.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.